Dinnerstein.
Good morning. My name is Paula Dinnerstein. I'm with Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, and we represent the petitioner, Teresa Chambers. The question raised in this case is whether FOIA and the Privacy Act shield government misconduct in destroying a document that might be embarrassing or damaging to the government. In this case, Ms. Chambers' performance evaluation that showed she had excellent performance right before they fired her. The government would have you believe that they've complied with the law.
I thought we were reviewing a summary judgment determination by the district court on a willful refusal to provide the performance evaluation. That's a little different question than the one you asked, isn't it? I mean, you want to get in front of a jury to present the question you asked, but that's not what's in front of us, is it? We're reviewing a summary judgment, right?
Yes, you're reviewing summary judgment. And the district court ruled as a matter of law that as long as the agency performed a thorough search, eventually it was irrelevant as to whether
inadequate about the search? They looked at Murphy's files. They looked at the central files. What other files should they have looked at, too?
What was inadequate about the search was that they first destroyed the document and then did the search. And the court's ruling...
That's your allegation. There's no direct evidence of they destroyed the documents, right? If they destroyed the documents, we probably wouldn't be here today. If you had... you don't have any evidence that they destroyed the document, right? You have inferences, but no direct evidence. Isn't that correct?
We have a lot of direct evidence that they destroyed the documents. The record shows that the performance appraisal was completed, that it was stored in four different places. One of them was a hard drive of the...
But there's a dispute about what that performance evaluation was, right? Mr. Murphy later testified that it wasn't what you're claiming, that it was something not quite so complete.
Mr. Murphy's later testimony contradicted his earlier testimony that the performance, that it was an evaluation, that it was narrative, that it was final, that it covered a particular period, a year's worth of performance. And later, after this case was filed, he recanted that testimony and said, no, it was only a performance plan. We believe that that doesn't even rise to creating a genuine issue of material fact. But if it does...
Why doesn't that?
Because
is that precisely the type of issue that raises a fact issue?
Because it is so completely contradicted by the rest of the record, including his own prior testimony. But
excuse me, I thought that was the triable question in your theory.
Pardon me?
I thought that was the triable question of fact.
The district court granted summary judgment.
No, I know what the district court did, but I thought your theory was there is a triable question about whether it was intentionally destroyed.
Our theory is that on the record before you, you could grant summary judgment for Chambers, but in the alternative, if you think there's a triable issue of fact, then at least it shouldn't have been granted for the department as the district court did.
And what's the triable issue of fact?
The triable issue of fact is whether whether the search could be adequate and in good faith, which is what's required for...
Now that's the legal question.
Right.
If let's assume you're right, that the destruction of intentional destruction of a document is actionable. Isn't the triable question of fact whether that's in fact what happened?
Yes. Okay. And what we are saying is that there were four copies of the document. We don't have absolute proof as to what happened to all of them, although there's a great deal of evidence that indicates that they were probably destroyed. But we do as to one of the copies, which was on...
But Murphy said that in the end he said it was just an SES evaluation or SES goals or something.
That's what he said. But even assuming that was true, if the department was given information, which they were given Murphy's earlier testimony saying that the chief of human resources was involved in creating the performance evaluation. Mm-hmm. And several months after the request and several months after being given that information, they wiped out her hard drive and erased it. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying is that as a matter of law, it cannot be an adequate search when they've destroyed files where the document might be, regardless of what it turns out to be the document. They cannot destroy files where the document might be.
What do you think happened to the hard copies and the floppy disks? I mean, they made searches for those, right, and couldn't find any evidence of it.
That's right. They couldn't find any of them, and we believe that that's evidence that they were destroyed.
Well, what they found was the SES plan, right? I mean,
right.
Why couldn't a reasonable explanation be that we just have conflicting memories about what was done and that what we have is something that was different than what Mr. Murphy thought at first?
Mr. Murphy's testimony at first was very detailed and complete. He was asked over and over again, was this an appraisal? Was it an evaluation? He kept saying yes. He said it covered a certain period, September 2002 to September 2003. He said it was evaluative. He said it was final. His testimony, his original testimony, completely conforms to the testimony of Terry Fajardo, the Chief of Human Resources, who said that she created the performance evaluation at his directive. In her deposition, she's taken through a form line by line and saying, this is what we put here, this is what we put here. Mr. Murphy told me her performance was good. He told me it was excellent. Please reflect that in the document. So there's very detailed testimony about the fact that it was an appraisal and not just a plan. Only after this case was filed and with Ms. Chambers' whistleblower litigation ongoing, where this performance evaluation could have been very damaging, did he then change his testimony.
You say in your brief that even if it was destroyed unintentionally, you have a cause of action, right?
We have a cause of action because they destroyed files where they were on notice the requested document
now,
might
suppose
be.
Suppose it was unintentional. Suppose the cleaning crew threw it out.
Well, that's not what happened.
Well, we don't know.
Well, we
but
know.
I'm just asking you, first of all, I know that's not what happened. At least I know that's not what you think happened. But I'm asking you a hypothetical. Because you do argue in your brief that even unintentional destruction is actionable, don't you?
I don't think we did argue that.
Oh, okay.
But once a FOIA request comes in, the agency has a duty to preserve documents that might be responsive to it. A year after this one came in and all the documents, copies of it disappeared, Mr. Murphy put out an order to preserve documents, which is what he should have done at the beginning. And what happened, and this is beyond dispute, this is not disputed, is that the agency destroyed Fajardo's hard drive on which they were on notice that the document might be consciously, not as a mistake, they destroyed it long after the request came in and long after they were on notice that the document might be there. What the Supreme Court has said in the Kissinger case and followed up in many cases in this circuit is that once a FOIA request comes in, the agency is under a duty to preserve those documents and to supply them. It's different if it had disappeared before the request came in. They don't have a duty to preserve documents just because a FOIA request might come. But once it comes, they have that duty, and they cannot have an adequate search when you destroy files where the document might be after the request comes in. So, you know, while we're saying there is no genuine dispute of fact, at the very least there is a genuine dispute of fact that precludes summary judgment for the district court, for the department, which the district court granted. So I'd like to go on to the count two, which is the Privacy Act count for damages. The first count involved an unreasonable search under FOIA, which we've just been discussing. The second count was dismissed for failure to state a claim, not on summary judgment. The district court found that there was actually no cause of action. The Privacy Act actually contains two different causes of action for damages, one for failure to maintain a document with accuracy and completeness, and another for a general catch-all, which includes the Act's requirements for safeguarding and securing documents. There's absolutely nothing in the plain language of the statute or in the case law which would say that document destruction or even missing documents, regardless of how they came to be missing, is not included in that cause of action.
Yeah, but in your complaint, you're not alleging that the department failed to that the department failed to establish these rules or failed to instruct anybody on these rules or failed to establish safeguards, right? You're just alleging that a document was destroyed.
We're alleging that the document could not have been properly safeguarded or maintained
if it's not there. But do you allege that the department has not established these rules?
We're not alleging that they haven't established rules. Right. We're alleging that in this case, the document was not safeguarded and was not maintained. And we did cite in our brief a Ninth Circuit case, Rosen versus Walters, that had to do with missing documents that the person needed for...
But wasn't that a case in which the document was used in connection with an actual decision regarding that person?
Like a benefits decision or something? Yes, it was a disability claim.
Yeah, right.
And there's also, there are cases in this circuit, Hutchinson versus CIA, that recognizes a cause of action for missing documents. And a more recent one here in the district court, Krieger versus Department of Justice.
They're not missing documents in general, are they? I mean, they're missing documents that were important in an evaluation that was performed.
Right. The Krieger case actually involves performance evaluations like this case. Mm-hmm. Because it's recognized that part of the purpose of the Privacy Act is not only to shield people's records from improper disclosure, but so that their records can be available to them if they need them, say, to make a disability claim or to seek employment. And in this case, Chambers has pled and has in her affidavits and answers to interrogatories that she was extremely disadvantaged by not having this performance evaluation.
But so if we were to agree with you on this argument, we would have to find that this document was, in fact, the completed evaluation that you're alleging it is, right? Those two are linked. If this wasn't a final evaluation.
That's
form
right. Of, I mean, if it didn't evaluate her performance,
then you recognize you would have no cause of action.
It would not have been of use to her. But in fact, she did reapply for the position of chief of police, mm-hmm. and she applied for many other positions which she needed a performance evaluation for. And since she'd never been given one the whole time she was chief of police.
But I didn't understand your complaint or your brief to be based on the argument, as it was in the Ninth Circuit, that this was a document used in a decision regarding her, correct? Yeah, true, you think you need it, but it's not a decision.
Well, it is a decision because she did reapply for the position of chief of police as well as many other positions that are...
But if the document's been destroyed, according to your theory, it couldn't possibly have been used in a decision regarding the plaintiff, correct?
No, but the absence of it meant that her application could not be complete, and that's what...
So, under your theory, basically, agencies have to keep all documents, don't they?
No, they don't have to keep all documents, but in fact...
Sure they do, because someone could always argue that someday a document might be necessary. They can't destroy any documents under your theory.
There's no claim in this case that they destroyed this document in the normal course of business because it was too old.
Well, they couldn't destroy it in any way.
Or because it was unsigned. The testimony in this case is that this document was kept under lock and key because it was so important. Yeah. And the federal government requires people who apply for jobs to have their latest performance evaluation. So this isn't the kind of document that would normally be discarded. I'm into my rebuttal time, so do you have any more questions, or should I reserve the rest of my time?
There are no more questions. Thank you. Ms. Russell?
Good morning. May it please the court. Appellee, United States Department of the Interior, respectfully request that this court affirm Judge Robertson's memorandum opinion and order holding that the Department of Interior's search for the requested record, that is a performance appraisal, a draft performance appraisal, was adequate, and also holding that the appellant failed to state a claim with regard to her allegation that the department should have maintained or retained the draft performance appraisal.
Isn't there a dispute about what this document is, whether it's completed or not?
Well, I don't think there's any dispute that it's unsigned. And actually what the appellant...
That what?
That it's unsigned, that it was not final. There has been no evidence presented that this was a final document, meaning that it was signed.
What difference does that make in terms of the department's obligations under the Act? It doesn't apply to just final documents.
Yeah, but in this case, there's no dispute that it was a draft performance appraisal, and indeed, that's what the appellant asked for.
There's no dispute that it was a draft appraisal?
Right, that's exactly what the appellant asked for.
I thought Murphy contradicted that and said it wasn't. Didn't Murphy say, Murphy said originally it was an appraisal, right?
He said it was an appraisal.
Okay, and then later he said it wasn't.
He said it was the SES, the Senior Executive Service Plan.
Is the government conceding that this was, in fact, a performance appraisal?
Well, the government's position is that they're the same thing, that the Senior Executive Service Plan is the same as an appraisal. It's the same document. And what was produced was the Senior Executive...
That's not what Murphy says. I mean, we got a record to go on here, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
All right, so Murphy... Okay. The plaintiff says that Murphy told her he had performed an appraisal, right? That's what the plaintiff testified.
That
it was a good one, and that they should schedule a meeting to go over it, right? That's her testimony.
That's her testimony.
Okay, and then Murphy acknowledges in his deposition that the evaluation was in final form and was a written narrative appraisal. That's from his deposition, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay. And then he talks about this human resources person who saw it too, and she agrees that's what it was, right?
That it was.
But then later on, he says the appraisal mentioned in his earlier testimony was not a written narrative.
That it
but
was
rather an
SES
plan. Performance plan.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So the record here suggests these are two different kinds of documents.
But Your Honor, it's undisputed that, and we presented this in our brief, that the SES plan is the same document used for the appraisal. The SES plan and the appraisal are essentially the same document. The Senior Executive Service Plan has the elements upon which an employee would be evaluated.
How do we know that from the record?
I believe that Mr. Crook provided an affidavit in that regard.
Well, let's assume you're right, that they're the same. Okay, the argument they're making, you say, well, we did an exhaustive search, right?
Yes, Your Honor, that is our position.
But you didn't respond in your brief to their key argument, which is that how can you do an exhaustive search when the agency has destroyed the document?
That's an allegation.
Yes, exactly.
That the document actually existed.
Let me ask you this. Would you agree, let's assume that there was clear evidence, uncontradicted, that they had destroyed the document intentionally. Would you then agree that the search could not have been adequate?
If the agency had destroyed the document intentionally, that the search could not have been adequate.
Right, yeah.
Actually, Your Honor, I believe that it would really depend. If the allegation is that Mr. Murphy somehow destroyed this document, and again, there's no testimony that...
No. Here's my case, okay? Murphy says, I did the appraisal, but after the... I put in the file, but after the request for the document came in, I destroyed it.
And he was aware of the request.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, if he was aware of the request, knew that he had the document...
Right.
Knew that it was an appraisal,
right.
And then he intentionally destroyed the document.
Right.
I think under the FOIA, there might be a claim. I'm not quite sure under the Privacy Act.
Why not? Haven't we said they're sort of the same?
I believe the courts have said that the standard for the search is the same.
Right.
That's correct.
So if a search under the FOIA is not adequate because the document was destroyed, then it wouldn't be adequate under the Privacy Act either, right?
That is correct, but again, that there's no...
So then based on that, all right, so then the question is, okay, I think we're getting to the core of this. Okay, so the government agrees that if it was intentionally destroyed and they knew about it, then there would be a cause of action under the Privacy Act. So the question then is, was there a triable issue of fact on that question, correct?
No, Your Honor.
No?
There is no triable issue.
No, but isn't that the question, whether there was? Because this was summary judgment, right?
Yes.
I mean, if a reasonable jury could have concluded from the evidence that there was intentional destruction of this document, then summary judgment would have been inappropriate, correct?
But I don't think a reasonable jury could conclude, given the circumstances of this case,
I mean, even
that
though
there's a tribal fact in this particular case.
And why is that?
Because there is no...
remember, tribal question about whether it was intentionally destroyed. That's the question you and I agreed is critical.
But there's even a threshold issue as to whether it even existed.
What they found was there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but what they found was the SES plan.
Wait, you just told me a few minutes ago that the SES plan and the appraisal are the same document.
Well, I would use the terms interchangeably, Your Honor. SES plan and appraisal.
All right. But I don't understand your argument.
The brief referred to it as an SES plan.
At the very least, isn't there a dispute over whether there was another document different than the one that was discovered, different than the one that was SES planned because of Mr. Murphy's prior testimony? His prior testimony doesn't seem to match up with what was discovered. Doesn't that create a dispute?
Your Honor, I don't believe so, because I believe that the ultimate issue is whether there was an adequate search for the
document. But you just agreed with me that there can't be an adequate search if the document is intentionally destroyed.
But there's no evidence that...
That's why Judge Griffith just asked you whether there isn't a tribal question of fact on that, because you have Murphy saying, I prepared the document. Then you have Murphy saying, well, it was a different document, right? And then they can't find the document. So why couldn't a jury conclude from that evidence? Clearly, look, there's no smoking gun. We never have them, right? We don't have someone who's... Murphy didn't say, I destroyed the document. But we have juries to resolve questions like this. So on the one hand, you have him and plaintiff and this other person saying that a document of some kind was prepared, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And they couldn't find it, right?
That is correct.
Okay. You don't think a jury could conclude from all of the circumstantial evidence here that the reason they couldn't find it is it had been destroyed?
But there's no evidence that it was destroyed. There's an
I'm
evidence
talking
that some document was
circumstantial evidence.
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
Why?
Because the agency doesn't dispute that some document existed.
Yeah.
Now, when the request came in, the issue then is whether there was an adequate search. There is no evidence. There is no material issue in dispute as to whether that document was destroyed or not.
You have Murphy first saying it's a it's a performance appraisal. That's what he first says. Then he says, no, it's not a performance appraisal. It's an SES whatever, right? And you have employee, what's her name?
Is it Ms. Fajardo?
Yeah. You have her saying, agreeing with plaintiff, that it was a performance appraisal, that she had prepared it. So you have Murphy, you have a contradiction over what it was, and now it's gone. And he knew about the request. So are you saying that you don't think a reasonable jury can conclude from that it was destroyed?
No, I do not, Your Honor. Because I think ultimately, regardless of what the nature of the document is, the ultimate question is whether there was a search. There is no evidence. There is no evidence that or dispute that, okay, the document really did exist at one point.
We agree with that, right? The evidence clearly supports that, don't you think?
That some document existed.
Yeah. And the evidence now indicates that, at least based on the record before us, it doesn't exist, correct? So there's two possibilities. Either one, it was never prepared, right? But we know that's not the case because Murphy agrees he prepared a document. The other possibility is it was destroyed.
No, I believe, Your Honor, that there is the possibility that what he prepared was the senior executive service plan with the elements.
10 minutes ago that they're the same.
Well, the document that the senior executive service plan was actually produced. Now, it's entirely speculative as to whether some other document existed. And even if it
Why is it speculative? Murphy testified that he prepared a different document.
It just doesn't match, does it? I mean, the document that we now have doesn't match Murphy's first testimony, does it? I mean, you'll concede that.
Well, what he said was that it was a final, it was a narrative, but he doesn't say what that narrative was. I mean, then we would have to speculate.
Well, I think your opposing counsel went through a rather long litany of describing Murphy's original testimony, and all I'm asking you to concede is that, that sure doesn't sound like the document that we have.
Well, I mean, the narrative could be the performance elements. Again, we're getting into the realm
that's
of speculation.
That's a fact question.
That's right. That's exactly why we
have juries. That's a fact question. That's why we have juries. So you agree
that when you're in the realm of speculation, that doesn't get you to a jury.
But you, let me ask you the question this way. Let's assume that we disagree with you and we think there is a triable question on whether it was intentionally destroyed. I know you don't agree with that, but let's assume we think it is. You would then agree, right, that this has to go back for a trial, right?
But Your Honor, there's no evidence that...
No, I asked you a hypothetical. Let's assume that we think it was there's enough evidence on the basis of which a reasonable jury could conclude that Murphy destroyed the document or someone did. Then you agree, right, that this we have to reverse and remand for a trial.
That is if the court finds that the Privacy Act covers that type of claim.
But you agreed with me earlier that it does. You said that if it's intentionally destroyed,
I agree that the search for under the Privacy Act
would
is
be
the
inadequate.
Same as the Freedom of Information,
and that it would be inadequate if it was intentionally destroyed.
Actually, Your Honor, I'm not even sure if this circuit has held that. I mean,
I wasn't asking you whether the circuit has held. I was asking you whether you told me earlier that you agreed with me. That the government's view is that if it was intentionally destroyed, because you don't really deal with this issue in your brief. You just say the search was adequate. You don't say anything about their allegation that the document was intentionally destroyed.
Well, we argued that it was not material for purposes of the search. Of the issue as to whether there was an adequate search, we argued that it was not material, irrespective of what that document looks like. It's not material for purposes of the issue before the court. Well, appellee would request that the court find that the search was adequate. The appellant asked or requested a draft performance appraisal. There was a search. Mr. Murphy searched his files. Ms. Brooks searched those files. There were subsequent searches for that document. There's not a scintilla of evidence that any type of the document, the draft performance appraisal, was destroyed. And once an adequate search is completed by the agency, the appellee's position is that the agency has met its obligation under the Privacy Act. Therefore, the appellee requests that this court affirm Judge Robertson's decision. With regard to her second claim that the agency should have retained the document, again, we request that this court affirm Judge Robertson's decision that the allegation fails to state a claim. The Privacy Act is not a document retention statute, and indeed, the plaintiff hasn't demonstrated that the provisions allowing relief under the Privacy Act, her claim actually fits within one of those provisions. The agency has not made any determination adverse to the appellant. The agency didn't deny access to the requested record, and no other provisions. Plaintiff fails to state a claim with regard to the other provisions of the Privacy Act. So, again, the appellee requests that the court affirm Judge Robertson's decision with regard to appellee's allegation that the agency failed to retain the document. Thank you.
How much time does Ms. Dinnerstein have? Okay.
Well, just a couple points. First, on Murphy's testimony, Murphy himself admits that his later testimony contradicts his earlier testimony. In his affidavit of April 2005 submitted in this case, he says his earlier testimony was quote-unquote mistaken. So even he recognizes the contrast. The Other thing I wanted to say is that...
Can you tell us anything? What's your view about this argument that a performance appraisal and this SEC thing are really the same thing?
Well, the completed performance appraisal would contain the SES plan,
right.
the elements that were to be evaluated, and then it has a few more pages that are the actual evaluation.
I see.
So before, he said he made an evaluation of a particular period of time. You can't have a plan for a year's performance. That was an evaluation that was missing. And Fajardo testified when she went back and looked at her floppy disk that all of it had been there, but when she went back, some of it was missing. It appeared to have been tampered with. On the Privacy Act not being a retention statute, Chambers made out enough claim that she applied for jobs that she didn't get, that she needed the performance evaluation to show that she hadn't been fired for performance reasons to withstand a motion to dismiss. The facts on damages would have to be remanded for trial. And the final thing I wanted to say is that if you affirm the district court in this case, this would just be giving a green light to federal agencies to destroy uncomfortable, embarrassing documents without any fear of sanction. And it would undermine the very purposes of the Privacy Act and the Freedom of Information Act to create open government and transparency.